You're listening to the Whole Church Podcast, a proud member of the Anazao Podcast Network. Our efforts to educate and unite the church are made possible thanks to our sponsors on Patreon, Captivate, and Apple Podcast. You could join them on one of those networks, or you can support the show by making a one-time tip on our Captivate website down below in the show's description. Colossians 3, verses 9 through 17 in the New American Standard Bible. Do not lie to one another, since you stripped off the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed to a new knowledge according to the image of the one who created it. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, I don't know how to say that, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so you must also do. In addition to all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ, to which you were indeed called in one body, rule in your hearts, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. In this epistle, Paul is addressing a heresy about salvation that crept up in the local church there at Colossus. Right before this pericope, Paul explained the power and importance of Christ to salvation. And in the pericope that I just read, it's part of a longer segment on how those in Christ work together as the church. Eric Nevins, how might podcasts play a role in how the modern church admonishes one another and teaches one another in perfect unity, similar to how Paul is instructing the church in Colossus to behave with one another in this section of scripture?
Okay, that's a great question. I think podcasts are the great democratizer, right? Like, that not only are they great for really internet, maybe we could go like even bigger, but I love Paul's emphasis on wherever you are, wherever you come from, we're all the same in Christ. And I think if you have something to share that you've gleaned from scripture or God has said to you, you can share it through a podcast, or you have a message you want to share it, you can do that in podcasting or the internet.
Yeah. Substack's getting a big way to do that these days.
Those are just one examples, and those are the ones for today, right? There's a whole bunch of, it's going to be different in 10 years.
Yeah, communication constantly evolving.
100%.
Hey guys, welcome to the Whole Church Podcast, possibly your favorite church unity podcast. If it's not, that's great too, because, this whole unity bit, we want you guys to appreciate all kinds of podcasts, and we're in unity with the other ones. If they're getting the job done better than us, and we just want to support them in what they're doing too, because that's kind of our whole gig.
Yeah, we'll jump ship.
Yeah, we'll just help them. I'm Joshua Knoll, here with the one and only co-host with the most, Pod Almighty, TJ Tiberius One Blackwell. How's it going, TJ?
Great.
And we are here with a very special guest, a return guest. We missed 1 year, so we might have a little extra catching up to do with the founder of the Christian Podcasters Association, friend, sage, awesome guy, host of Halfway There, the one and only Eric Nevins. Welcome to the show, man.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for having me. You're very, very kind. Far, far too kind for me. Nobody's ever called me a sage before. That's okay. Yeah, just
I'm here to be the hype man,
I like it. I'll take it. Don't get me wrong. I'll take it. Yeah.
Yeah. If no one else will notice your sagacity, then
I'm here for it.
You can't just go unmentioned. If you're listening, check out the website. It's new for this year. It's fancy now. Check out one of our t-shirts, help promote the show. It's super helpful. It's free advertising for us. Pretty sweet deal, if you ask me. And if you should probably check out the Anazao Podcast Network website. The link is below to that for shows that are like ours, shows that aren't like ours, shows that we like to like.
Yeah, it's actually new too. They're both through Fourth Wall, which is just great. So if you have all the shirts and stuff are mostly like comfort colors, like it's good, high quality stuff. And if you see some of the other shows and their products over on the Anazal podcast thing, be sure to support them too. We got a lot of people that are doing great stuff on the network, releasing soon or already released, depending on when I do this, because of things. You'll have Your Matter Matters, Pastor Will Rose and Pastor Thomas Johnson, and they have some great merch on the website that they did for their show. We really want you guys to support them, because we love Pastor Will with not our whole hearts, because like our whole hearts are for Jesus, but there's like this overlap where we love Will a lot too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And with that out of the way, we have to start our show with the ultimate form of unity, Holy Sacrament around these parts, at least for me, because you can't be in disarray. You can't be have discord. You can have the app, but you can't have actual discord if you're being as silly as I like to be. So we're going to start, as always, with a silly question. Today's, I'm going to start and say, you can't choose white or black. Those aren't colors in my book. If every single clothing item you had for the rest of time were all to be the same one color, what color do you want your clothes to be for the rest of eternity?
So, is it the same color and shade? Everything is exactly the same.
Exactly the same. Forever. You're stuck. You've been mm-hmm. put a really weird Adventure Time curse you got.
Shoes
I'll
too.
Start. Wait, what is it?
Shoes too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, shoes too. Everything. Socks. Undergarments. Yeah. I'm going to go with exactly the shade I'm wearing. I wasn't doing that on purpose, but just happened to work out. Because, you know, Comfort Colors has some, like, a lot more muted colors, I feel like. I like red a lot, but I don't want to, like, be constantly wearing a primary color and just be an eyesore to everyone always. I'm not going to look good if I'm all wearing the same color anyway. But at least I could choose, like, a muted red, something that like looks good on me, I still like, and it's not in your face constantly, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah. DJ,
honestly, I'd probably go for something more like what Eric's wearing, like a nice blue.
Yeah,
nothing crazy, you know. Like I've got blue eyes, got to make the most out of the single color forever.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. I'm a little disappointed blue, you didn't say purple.
I just don't look that great in purple.
You were like exclusively purple on this podcast for years.
Yeah, it's, you know, diminishing of the self.
Yeah.
It's humble.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's not Joker. It's all right.
He's Mr. Purple. But, it's different.
But if not blue, probably like a yellow, dark yellow. I look super tan in yellow. Yeah.
I love yellow. Mm. I don't look good in yellow. I wish I did, or I would have chose some shade of yellow, but.
Okay, so this conversation is reminding me of the guy, the Savannah Bananas guys, Jesse.
Yeah.
Is his name right? Jessica.
Oh, yeah.
He has like seven yellow tuxes, right? And the hat. And like this is what he wears every day. So he really does have to wear the same color every day for the rest of his life. At least that's what he's. I don't know if he wears it on vacation or who knows, but
I hope so.
I think he does.
Because I think he's really like it's, but.
Praise God.
The point is, he's really recognizable. Everybody knows who he is when he shows up anywhere, right? So, okay, I'm going to answer. I thought you took away black, because if you're going to be like do a Johnny Cash, you just do black, you know? That's one thing.
Black would have just been the right answer. So we couldn't.
Correct. Yeah, because then you always look good, right? You always look good. And I considered maybe this shade of blue, like just like a blue, you know, because I like blue. But in light of all that has been said, I'm going to go with Cardinal red. Like I'm a big St. Louis Cardinals fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
fair.
So
we could go with red and I'll stand out
that's
in the
so
crowd.
Bright.
But as we already talked about with the Savannah Bananas, doesn't matter. That's your distinction.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, you're going to stand out anyway.
Less noticeable. Yeah. It'll be less noticeable. Everyone's going to stand out.
That's right.
Yeah. If everything says Cardinals, people just think you're like really into the team.
That's right.
I just look like a freak who doesn't know how to pick his clothes.
Right. I'll be like, I don't own the team. I'm just crazy.
Right. Yeah.
Which is par for the course for sports. Right. So, Eric, it's been some time since you've been on the show.
Yeah.
A little over a year, really. It's not that long in the grand scheme of things. But would you mind catching our listeners up on what you've been up to with the CPA? Whatever else you've been doing halfway there, just give it to us. What have we missed?
Yeah. Well, not a lot, because not a lot has happened. So it's actually kind of a, hopefully it's like, how do I make this?
Yeah. He was waiting to be eventful till he helpful. Was on Old Church.
Yeah. I don't really have anything. You know, it's good. Podcasting has been an interesting state right now, which I think is I've definitely felt in CPA as well. I've actually, I love CPA, but realize I'm going to move a lot more of my energy to some other things that for business that, I'll just let CPA be more of a side hustle. But I still love it. And I still believe in the vision. So that's been a lot of the last 2 years, to be honest. There's been some grief to that as well. Cause I love it. And I love helping people find their voice, find their, message and kind of fine tune those things, be able to talk about it. And that's important because we need more people to do that. Interestingly, did you guys know that in the podcast industry in general, last time I looked at the numbers, this was about a month and a half ago, there's less active podcasts today than there were 4 years ago.
Good. I was going to ask, I was assuming that might be the case. Cause I think 2020, everybody was bored and jumped and started their own podcast. I was like, I felt like probably there was less now.
Right. Yeah. That's interesting. So,
yeah, I think microphones were too accessible.
Well, there's a few people. Yeah. The problem is most of those people that you would like to take them away from, they've got the nice expensive ones cause they're celebrities. So
yeah.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, it's a fun thing doing a church unity podcast and then realizing the way to get popular is by not talking about unity.
You got to be controversial, man. Yeah. You got to offend somebody. You got to punch somebody in the nose every once in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you see someone who doesn't like unity, you should just punch them. There we go. That'll help. That's a good AI clip. Someone use that.
I like it.
Yeah. All right. So, other than, you know, your shows, you own your own network or had a hand in it. Let's talk about that first. CPA, I think it started off just a Facebook group and it became a network. Is that the correct understanding?
Yeah, we have a network and it's really just hosting for people. We have a number of good folks on there that I like. A couple of people I could highlight. Jennifer Sakata has a show called Living the Grace Life, which I love. I think she is...
Good
when name. I first met Jen, have you guys heard of, you guys know Jennifer?
I don't think so.
You should have her on. She would love it. When I first met her, it was at a conference and she said the one thing I love to hear podcasters say, I love to talk to people, right? I want to have an interview show. It's like, great. You'll do great. Let's get it together. And it took her 6 or 8 months and then she just hit a year actually.
Nice.
Awesome. Congrats, so, Jennifer. Yeah, she's great. And the other one I love is Sue Donaldson has a show, Welcome Heart or Living a Legacy Life. And she's had people like Bob Goff on. She's got a bunch of other authors and yours truly. And she just asks about how do you live a life that's leaves a legacy beyond, you know, whatever, just your possessions, but your kind of impact that you're leaving with people. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. So I say we have our own network. We're part of a different network with Anazal Podcast Network. It's much smaller than CPA. And ironically, because, you know, we're the Church Unity podcast and I think we're like the flagship right now. I think we still have the most people. Not really sure. We're up there. But it's funny, though, because our network, I feel like, isn't quite as inclusive as yours. I feel like you're doing a really great job of just leaving space for a lot of people to come in and we're just like invite only our friends because it's too much of a hassle for that guy named Joshua to deal with.
Well, it is a lot of work. And I really kind of the theme there is I wanted it to be the same as CPA. Right. So I wanted where we don't have theological fights in Christian Podcasters Association. Right. We simply have this one thing in common or two things in common, Jesus and podcasting. And so I want us to keep the focus on mostly the podcasting because there's other things we disagree.
Yeah.
That's a great exercise in church unity, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I wanted to highlight it because I was like, that's actually pretty cool.
It is good. And I don't remember if we talked about this before, but that was one of the things that people talk to me about CPA that they really love is that sense of, hey, we're not here to fight about those things. People have tried. It's happened. I could give you a couple examples, but I shut that down real quick and we kind of tried to create a space where we can all just talk about the one thing that we're here to do, mm-hmm. not any of that other stuff, which is hard because people are in different places in their spiritual journey. They're in different understandings. I mean, you can just post anything and you're going to get a whole bunch of feedback from all kinds of things. Did you guys see, speaking of which, did you see, this isn't about you. We're not really going toward unity here, but I posted something about Philip Yancey about that whole situation. You know,
I saw the post and was afraid to click comments because
it's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
The world
yes,
we live
exactly. in. Exactly. Cause I have a take that I think is trying to bring in all sides and just the amount of people, some people were just really vicious and nasty. And some of them were very, kind. Some of them kindly disagreed and some were like, what the heck do you mean? I was like, okay. So, you get all types and that's just kind of how the world is and where people are. But, it was an interesting exercise. I hadn't done that in a long time. I hadn't stirred the pot in a while. So that was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to every now and then.
Yeah. Every once in a while. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. So, not our show, but like the network as a whole, I think the theme's kind of been honestly engaging. So it's like, it's by invite only, friends only for On the Zaw Podcast Network. But it's like, we're trying to keep it like shows or people who are like actually trying to engage and not just trying to say, here's my side, here's the answer. Just keep it, you know, we don't want the clear cut stuff just because we're trying to have be intentional with the kind of stuff that we're putting out there. So a little more gatekeeping than CPA, weirdly enough, even though we're the Unity Podcast. And I think what's interesting is it's difficult to find those like honestly engaging without it being like rage baity or just conflict. And I know even when we posted an episode, not on your Facebook group, but there was another Facebook group, us and then Josh Patterson shared a different episode too, where we just interviewed a guy who was a gay minister and people were just mad that we even had the conversation. I'm like, the whole thing is honestly engaging. And you guys clearly didn't even listen to what we said before you started criticizing that we even were willing to talk to the guy. And that's where I'm like, man, you know, come on.
He showed up in my TikTok for you feed the other day. And I was like, who is this? He looks familiar to me. It took me like a good couple minutes of like looking at his page to be like, oh, he was on the show.
That's so funny. I still don't know what a TikTok for you page is, but that sounds real.
Dude.
I'm standing my old man ground on TikTok. That's like, okay. I feel like everybody gets their old man thing. And
You have a few though.
I've been practicing to be a grumpy old man for a really long time. So I am.
Yeah,
I understand that.
So once I get old, I'll be prepared, man.
That's right.
I picked mine really early. It's manual cars.
Like you like your manual?
I don't drive an automatic. I can't drive an automatic. But I won't.
Huh. All right. Well,
it's worse. I'm not a fan.
I just wish that I cared more about cars. Like the more I grow up, the more I'm like, man, just to be part of conversations, like I don't actually care about.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Knowing the car stuff. I just want to be part of people's conversations.
I'm kind of with you. I don't
know enough.
I don't care enough about cars to have that opinion, but I will tell you, I did drive a manual. I had like, it had been maybe 20 years. We had one when we first got married. My wife had a Hyundai that was a, you know, five speed or something. And, then we visited Spain last year to visit our daughter who she was there for like 9 months.
And they were all manual.
Yeah, it was. It was. And I forget what even brand it was, but I'm driving through these little tiny streets in this little town in Spain. And people are like parting like the Red Sea in front of me. And I'm like, I can't go slower. Like you guys got to move. And it was it was an adventure, but we did it. We did okay. So it comes back to you. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't done it before, it's good to learn.
Yeah. And if anybody has a Christian car talk podcast, you know, let Eric know. The CPA needs that.
Let TJ know.
Yeah.
He wants a niche.
That's my niche. I'm going to start my own show.
So, Eric, other than shows on your own network or shows that you have a personal hand in, if you were to like, we're going to detach ourselves because it's not fair to be like our favorites are. Sure. Let me read the ones on my net. But if you had something that you were just like, these are the ones you really appreciate, like 5 or 4, 6. If you want to list 100 really fast, I'll let you. Like, what are some that stand out to you that aren't, you know, super fun?
I went back and I looked like, what have I been listening to in the last year? Because it's been a little while and I haven't really been thinking about what I'm listening to. But one thing that's interesting about this list is a lot of them are connected to organizations. The one I'm really, really loving right now is a show called The Bema Podcast. Have you heard of this? It's Marty Solomon. And he essentially comes at it from, he's going through scripture from a very Jewish rabbinic kind of way. He's Christian, but he's approaching it from that, with that sort of informed tradition to go through. And I have just found so much life in that podcast, just from hearing some of that stuff. Sometimes, I think sometimes we ask, certainly the world I grew up in, I'm a little older than you guys, the church asked the text to do a lot of work it wasn't doing. So, I mean, we could give examples, all kinds of things. My favorite one is creation. I believe God created, but I think that narrative, sometimes we ask it to do a lot of scientific work that I don't think that it does. It's not meant to do that, literally or textually. So, he talks about stuff like that and talks about the bigger story. And that just really refreshes my soul, because it makes me go, oh, this is, reminder that God is in control, right? That God is working, and that even when things go bad, as they do when we get to all of his people, he's still working, he's still inviting, he's still calling people to himself. And I need to hear that. So that's the first one.
Yeah, it's good. Actually, it makes me think of real life. I found this out from somebody who guessed it on another show that is in our network, but this one isn't. BioLogos and Christianity Today, I think, are working together for Wonderology. Have you seen anything of that podcast?
No.
Yeah, it's a lot of like science faith thing, but instead of doing like the big arguments, I think it's more looking at the like wonder and like what is it in science that actually makes us care or like invoke, you know, awe, instead of just what are we arguing about now?
That sounds great. All right. I wrote that down. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
Let me give you three others.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
All right. Holy Post. You guys listen to Holy Post?
That's big Phil always fans. That's always my number one every year.
I love what they're doing, especially with all of their different shows now. So I loved watching them grow. We had John Houghton, the guy Houghton. I forget how he says it. He's the their president on come to our CPA member group. And awesome. It was just cool. His whole way of thinking about what they're trying to do, and they've clarified it a lot over the last couple of years, and they're building it. And I just love it. Again, a reasonable, I think, kingdom of God centered view of the world and how we interact in it. And I love it. So that helps me out.
You had Sky Jathani on your show before.
I did.
A couple years ago too. Yeah.
I've always wanted to talk to him. Yeah, was it last year or maybe it was 2023? It's 2024, I guess. It's 2026 now. When you get older,
which is wild,
time just flies.
It is weird.
So it was like, it was November 2024. They did a Holy Post event here, and we went to it and got to talk to him, and he signed one of my books that I had, and that was
good. Nice. I got one of his books for my dad for Christmas.
That's cool. Which one?
Yeah. The commodity one. I can't remember the full title. The Divine Commodity. Good title.
Yeah, that's good. His book With, which is talks about how we relate with God. Like I joked with him, I would add it to the canon if I could, like and I'm only kind of partly joking there. I think every Christian should read it, particularly at our time when there's so many, he makes this case that, look, there's all these other ways we can interact with God. We can try to do things for God. We can try to do things live under God, but that these are not the things that God has asked us to do. He wants to live with us. Mm. And so, and that when you have that perspective, reading scripture is just totally different. And it is really good. Anyway, so I'm a huge fan of really him. I think Phil Vischer's funny, and the other people are very intelligent.
Yeah. Esau McCauley's show is pretty good. Esau McCauley is pretty good too, but
that's what he's very intelligent. I think Caitlin Chess is great. I am there. Like I resonate with Sky's perspective is the one that most closely aligns with me. And I'm always encouraged by this.
Right there with you. I think he's a little bit more conservative of doctrine than I've become over the last couple of years.
Sure. But
I like his voice better than anybody else's. Even I'm like, I still like where he's at. Yeah. So you said you had three. So what are the other two?
All right. The other one that, and I got a couple more here, but here, is this one. I was just listening to a bonus episode that they did, Devil on the Deep Blue Sea. Have you guys listened to this one?
No, I'm gonna write that down
too. Okay, this is put out by Christianity Today. This is Mike Cosper, the guy who did the one about Mars Hill.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, I have seen this. I just forgot the name. Sorry.
It's about the Satanic Panic. Yeah, I had forgotten. I went to look when I saw this question in your notes that I went like, what have I been listening to over the last year? And I remembered this and I started listening to, they had a bonus episode with Amanda Knox because her situation is very different or very similar to the some of the like hysteria things that had happened that they talked about earlier in the show. So love that show. I love, and it, again, it's clarifying for me because I grew up like when they're talking about the devil, the sort of satanic panic in the 80s. That's what I grew up in, man. I literally remember what they call it, like a missions conference or something that they had at our church. And I don't know. They had brought a bunch of people in and there was this one guy talking. He was kind of the main speaker, I think. And I remember, keep in mind, I'm in elementary school, right? So I don't really know what's going on. I was just there. But the one thing I remember him talking about was music and satanic drums and things like that, right? Like all these kind of, it was really in that vein. So listening to these guys kind of unpack what the Satanic Panic was, how it kind of spread, some of the things were really just sort of false, really helped me go, yeah, okay, I could rewire and reshape some things in my brain from really what is a very formative time.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember the guy's name, but we have a friend who actually, his dad was contacted by the guy who created D&D. And yeah, their story has a lot to do with that satanic parent conversation about D&D and all that. And
talking about cool. Thomas
Webster? Yeah. Yeah. Thomas Webster. Thank you.
Yeah. Tom Webster.
Yeah. Yeah. His dad was actually contacted by the creator of D&D. And it was a whole thing because people thought it was so weird. He was using D&D at his church. And he was like, I don't know why people think this is demonic. This is crazy. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. Their story's cool. So yeah.
Yeah, they are cool. And Gary, I think they have still have the letter from Gary.
Yeah. Yeah. And they got a few books and stuff. So if you guys look up Thomas Webster, he's cool. Eric, did you have another podcast you were about to mention or?
No, the only other one on my list is from my good friend, Chris Starin. You guys know Chris. He's Truce.
I heard of him.
he's got a great show. And again, church history. He sort of looks journalistically into the church. And that's always helpful for me.
Yeah. So speaking of church history, I got to throw out there one that I've been listening to this one for years. I don't remember the name of the who does it or anything, but it's just 5 minutes in church history.
Oh, nice.
So simple. It's literally just 5 minute episodes just today in church history. And it's great. Just educational, sweet, to the point. Mm-hmm. TJ speak.
Something that Josh could never do ever. No.
I would absolutely not. I couldn't even tell you the name. 5 minutes of church history in 5 minutes. I have to sit there and explain it, and it'd be a whole thing.
Yeah, it'd be a struggle. Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. I'm going to shock our listeners. TJ has listened to at least one podcast now, which had not happened at the time that Eric was on last. So, TJ.
It's true. Yeah.
What have you actually listened to?
To my knowledge, if I'm keeping track correctly, I've listened to at least 4 whole episodes this year. At least. Yeah. Four.
This year or last year?
Last year. This year. That'd be crazy.
I was like, what?
Record-breaking numbers.
I probably listened to 4 today, by the way.
Yeah, I'm just not a podcast person. I'm a music enjoyer. I listen to a lot of music. I don't listen to many podcasts just because they demand a certain level of focus from me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm usually doing other things that require also focus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
I'm ADHD. I don't have that problem.
Right.
But I've listened to 2 episodes of Rethinking Faith with Josh Patterson.
Woo woo. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Love Josh.
Love Josh. Show's good. It's nice to hear him talk. He's a smart guy, usually. I've also listened to 2 episodes of Homebrew Christianity with Trip Fuller.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically, I listened to him talk with Myron Penner twice. I love Myron.
Nice. So... Hold
on. Actually, big shout out. I have listened to a third podcast, and it is Personalist Manifestos with Michael Morelli.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's going to be on the show soon. I actually have an email I have to respond to.
Which is awesome.
Today. Yeah.
Yeah, Personalist Manifestos, Michael Morelli. He tackles a lot of really tough concepts on his show, and it's super like highbrow academic content, which is cool. But again,
yeah,
it's something that you have to actually really focus on to retain that information.
Yeah,
true. But I like what he does over there, and he's a cool guy. He's super funny, super in touch with the world.
Nice.
He's a natural.
I'm actually looking for a podcast recommendation, so maybe Eric can help me now. Just get really level here. So, and I mentioned, you know, this kind of like the thing with like the Anazal podcast networks, we're trying to like do honest engagement. And for me, that means I want to hear every side of like as many topics as I can so I can make my own mind up. And I like to hear people I disagree with so I can say, okay, so that's where they're coming from, and try to really see where they're coming from. Right. And for a long time, you know, I had a lot of shows in the middle that I liked, all the Holy Post shows, like the things that are closer to me. It's for me, it's easier to find them. And that's because, you know, echo chambers exist and the internet just perpetuates them. Far left, in mind you, I love these people. I think they're a lot more progressive than me. When you talk about like Josh Patterson or even Trip Fool or Dan Koch, a lot of them are definitely more liberal in their theology than I am. Maybe not a ton more liberal than I am, but definitely more liberal than I am. I used to would listen to Al Mohler every day because he had that like daily thing or whatever. And I'm like, he's far more conservative than me. But some of the stuff he's been saying online and doing stuff lately, I'm like, I in no way want to support this person. Like, just as a human, I'm like, I don't want to support him.
Yeah.
But I don't want to lose all conservative voice that, you know, like I still want to hear what's going on in those conversations. I just don't want to support him. So is there another conservative that I can listen to? Like hard, you know, hard right? Because you know, there's some ways I'm probably considered conservative, but when we're talking about theology, you know what I mean?
You can always listen to John Piper.
That's hard too. But that's true. Does he have his own podcast?
I'm sure there's something with his probably sermons or something.
Yeah.
Or teaching. I don't know exactly. That would be probably the first person who comes to mind. I don't know. Yeah, if I'm honest, I haven't kept up with a lot of that end because I'm so annoyed. God bless him. But just I can't even, I don't know. I've come in other ways. I feel like I haven't really moved, but the scale.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like what was the far right has gone so right that I'm like, I'm not sure this is Christian anymore. You know, we're the whole church. I believe in church unity, but there's some stuff that Al Mohler does that I'm like, I don't see Jesus endorsing this, you know?
Yeah. And without calling out anybody specifically, I do feel like there has been a syncretism in the last 10 years of synchronizing the Christian faith with American politics. And maybe it was that way before. Mm-hmm. And I think I've got a story if you want to hear about how God kind of called me out of that. But yeah. It's not good. It's not good at all. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, we're going to talk a little bit more about it soon on a roundtable on our show. But like, I think that's where a lot of people get confused on Christian nationalism. And that goes to the Holy Post really helps me with this is like a lot of people when they say Christian nationalism, they're just talking about Christian patriotism. And that's where like, I think it helps to define terms. And that's where Sky Jastani and them actually help a lot. Cause like, yo, nationalism is actually its own philosophy. That's about the nation should be people like us and putting our nation above other nations. It's about power grabbing. And to say Christian before that, that's not really congruent. Christianity isn't about power grabbing or seeing everybody else the same as you or making everyone the same as you. And it's them defining that term really helped me a lot.
Yeah.
But do you want to talk some about, you said you had a story. I'd like to hear it.
Well, so the story is how I went from being, so I really sort of steeped in right-wing politics to kind of going away from that. And it started with a book. So I first figured out, and you guys probably know this, you can get books if you have a podcast or if you have a blog.
Oh, yeah.
This is before podcasts were really popular. And I had a political blog because that's what I did when I first got out of seminary. And I was like, hey, I want to do that. And so I got a book by Oz Guinness called The Free People's Suicide. Now I've had Oz on the show a couple times and I got to tell him this. I read it. It was great. But he makes a point in there about how he's at one point he's talking about character. He's like, look, what we really have to do is we have to change people's character. It doesn't actually matter. I think we're seeing this right now. It does not matter what's written on the page of the Constitution or the law or whatever. It's the character of the people who are enforcing or supposed to check the other people in the government that really matters. Cause if no one will stand up and say, hey, that's wrong, you've just descended into fascism, right? So that when he said that, I started to ask myself some questions, or when, like, that was kind of his, one of his points. Now, I don't think he agrees with this, by the way. Like, I think he was, when I told him, he was like, well, this wasn't the point of the book, but this is where I got out of it. So then I started asking questions like, hey, listen, okay, if character really is this important, how do you shape a character? Mm-hmm. What do you do? I started looking around, and I, at the time, one of the big debates was the gay marriage debate. You guys remember this? Like, in, this is 2009, 2010.
Mm-hmm. I was not.
Yeah, something like that. It was a really big deal. And so I was asking the question, well, how, you know, eventually that got settled, but it got settled by court, right? Mm-hmm. What had happened is one side, the right side, the right wing side, had gone and attempted to influence culture by passing laws. And they passed actually a marriage amendment in 30 states in California twice, right? Including a national one. And that's enough for like a constitutional amendment, 3/5, right? Like, I think is what the standard is, but they didn't do that. So they spent millions of dollars, thousands and thousands of hours, man hours, and they got this passed. The other side, who was in favor, actually told stories, right? And so they made shows like Will and Grace and Brokeback Mountain and any number of Philadelphia, any number of other stories that helped people have a sense about what was right here, right? And so all of that, and then eventually the whole decision gets overturned, or gets turned into a court case, and the opinion of five people changes, you know, all of that work and wipes away all that work that the right wing side had done, because they focused on the wrong thing. They focused on the law, not on the character and not on the hearts of, mm-hmm. of people. Right. So this actually is part of the impetus for me going to podcasting, because I started to ask myself, when I started to start a podcast, I started to ask, well, how do I shape people? How can I help do that? So instead of having a podcast where it was me, because I wanted to talk about the spiritual journey, and instead of saying, I want to talk about spiritual practices or whatever, which quite honestly, I find kind of boring. Don't tell anybody that. Like, but when I did a ton of classes and all this stuff, it's fine, but I didn't know, find it that interesting. And I wouldn't certainly have done as many episodes as I did if that's what I had done. I said, what can I do? I can tell stories. I'm going to tell stories. And instead of me talking about teaching things, it was me having people walk them through their story, telling me about, when was the time when you felt like came to Christ? When was the time when you really were learning the way of Christ? What did that look like for you? Were there passages that were important to you? Were there events or people who mentored you, whatever? And then when did you hit the wall? Cause that's a normal part of the journey. And so I just kind of let the interview do the teaching for me. And that was it. So, but that one realization, once I realized that it was character and that it was, there was something else there, that is the same book, kind of just, I had this epiphany while I was reading it, that the interests of the kingdom of God and the interests of the state, we can say the kingdom of the United States, for, you know, you get what I mean by that. Those two are very different things. They're different, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the state might have an interest in marriage being regulated, right, between all people, regardless of how we want to define it. Mm-hmm. But the church might have a very different way of defining it, and they don't necessarily have to overlap. Anyway, that was kind of my journey. So that took a lot of time, but that's it.
You know, I think it's really interesting. You mentioned like Philadelphia, Brokeback Mountain, Will and Grace. And I think that period of creation, it feels wrong to call it content when it's old. That's just what it would be called now. But like, queer cinema and like TV used to be like, if it made it to a major network, it was good.
Yeah.
Now we can get queer slop. They really paved the way. Now you can watch Heated Rivalries.
I despise this show.
Now queer programming could be bad.
Yeah. Well,
it used to be like that.
I understand people like that show and whatever. And I don't want to like geek shame or whatever, but like, to me, the plot, the acting, everything about Heated Rivalries is just bad. And that's like, I've come around, like I've actually changed my mind when it comes to like same-sex marriage and stuff theologically and stuff. But like, literally just as content, not even evaluating the morality or anything of it, I'm just like, this is just bad TV, man.
I haven't seen that show, so I don't know. But I think what is different is those shows in the past, or the ones that we're talking about, they were first representations, mm-hmm. right? So we hadn't seen stuff like that before, most of us. It was like, oh, okay. You know, there's lots of things there, right?
Yeah.
But today it just is, I think it's represented. They go for representation in everything. And that's okay. I understand why they're doing it. Don't always appreciate it, but
it's
just where we are.
Yeah. So, I think in general, oversaturation really just depletes a message, which is part of my problem with the more recent Doctor Who stuff. It's like everything's diverse constantly. And I'm like, well, but when you do that, there's not actually a message of diversity. Everything's diverse, so nothing's diverse. You know, it's like, I don't know what you're doing.
I think when you do that for Doctor Who, you miss the whole point of the whole show.
Yeah.
Right. Is that I haven't watched, I think they had a special at Christmas. I don't know, but I haven't watched it.
And not this year.
Not this year. Was it last? I don't know. Last year they had a few or something.
Yeah.
I haven't seen, but I haven't watched them because it's more about stuff like that instead of like, show me the crazy monster. Show me the fun, what the show's about. The show's an escape to something else.
Overall, I'm still positive on the last couple seasons. There's a few big misses. I just think a lot of their messaging gets lost because they just overdo it.
Did you like David Tennant coming back?
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. I'm a huge David Tennant guy. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
But last thing on this, because I do want to get more to your story thing, because we actually stole your story thing for our show in a weird way. But nice. I want to touch on, to me, because again, I've just been geeking out really hard on Adventure Time lately because he watched it all the way through again and it's just on my mind. I think that was one of the best queer representations personally, because it wasn't in your face. It was actually kind of hidden in your face till the end. And actually, I watched that before I had changed my mind. I was still like not for this theologically. And I'm like, I watched that. I was like, yeah, okay. So obviously these people think differently than me. This story was earned. Like even when I was against it, I still was like, story wise, that made sense. They earned it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so I think the power of story is really important. That's part of that's the point of all this.
There you go. That's good.
Easy to get sidetracked. And what you did really helped open my eyes, and we actually incorporated into the whole church. A lot of times when we have new guests, especially if they're from a denomination that maybe we know some of our listeners are going to be a little bit contentious towards, they're going to be like, oh, a Southern Baptist or Mormons aren't Christian, you know, whatever. Like, I love starting with that. Hey, tell us some about your story, because it really makes it hard to not see someone as a fellow brother in Christ, whatever, when you're like, oh, they're a Catholic. And then you hear the story and you're like,
right,
that's my story, you know?
Right. I can resonate with that. Right. I can hear that. So, yeah, I think that's one of the big things. And it is part of maturity, human and spiritual, that you have more respect for other people and their experiences, you know, when you can hear it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Eric, do you think that podcast and like content creation in general like this are ideal places for ecumenical efforts to be realized outside the walls of the church and like still engaging with theology and theophany? Is this ideal?
Is podcasting ideal? Yeah. So I think podcasting is really good at one thing. Well, actually it's good at a couple things, but is really good at having conversations like we're doing, right? And I think discipleship largely takes place in conversation. And that's why we love some of these podcasts that we've been talking about. I can listen to Sky and Phil and Caitlin and Esau have a conversation about something that helps me make sure I'm shaping my opinions and thoughts about the world. I don't always have to agree with them, and I don't always, but I'm shaping my thoughts around the kingdom of God. Right. Around what is God doing? And so, yeah, I do in that way think that podcasting and online content can be really, really valuable. I think it's neglected by a lot of Christians. I think a lot of pastors are already too busy to even do that kind of thing or invest in online content. I'm starting to get a little bit, what's the word? Wary. I don't know. I sometimes wonder, do we just think we can somehow tame the beast by feeding it more? You know, I don't know. I don't know if that's right. I have that question.
I mean, that is how you tame most beasts, I think. But
you feed them. Yeah, it's true. Uh-huh. The TikTok beast, though, I don't know. I don't know if that's. I'm not sure that or the algorithm beast, right? Like you just or do we keep it up?
That's a different monster.
I don't know. So I am starting to have maybe some cracks in that, but I do think done right with a good message and consistently, yeah, I think it's powerful.
Yeah. So do you think churches like should be like having their own shows if they can? Is it cheating to just like upload your sermon as a podcast?
Yeah. You're throwing me a softball. So that's that's good. I am really grateful, but I wish that Christians would, and pastors specifically would see podcasting as more than the 2026 version of the tape ministry from the 90s or the CD ministry from the 90s, where they would record their CDs and send it out. I used to do that. We had to burn CDs every week, like to help out, and we'd have this big machines and right. So I get it. So it's cheaper, it's faster. It's, you know, I get all those things. But I also think it betrays a little bit of a bias toward teaching as the method in which disciples are formed. And I don't think that's the only way they're formed. It's valuable. Teaching is valuable. Don't get me wrong. But it's not the only way. And a lot more discipleship happens in conversations. What did Jesus do most often? He was talking to, he's got sermons, but he also was having conversations with his disciples and with the people around him. So I think I would love to see and encourage any pastors who might listen to this. How can you create a podcast where you're having conversations with your constituents, your parishioners in the podcast, their concerns? Maybe they want to ask an anonymous question. You can address that. That's fine. But how can you do that in a way that is valuable for their discipleship? And even if you're just making it as a resource for your congregation, maybe other people will listen to it, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe they don't. Maybe you want to grow it or whatever. That's good. But I wouldn't worry about that so much as I would worry about the discipleship of the people that you're given to care for. And think about online tools as a way to do that.
Yeah. A couple things of that. One thing I actually really appreciated about Al Mohler's podcast before I stopped listening to it was Fridays. He always did questions from people and he's reading them. And a lot of times he would choose younger people in high school or whatever. And I was a little weary about that because I'm like, I don't like your theology, but I'm like, I like what you're doing because we're in conversation. And I think that's an important bit.
Right.
I also do want to say, to me, it does matter what your purpose is, regardless of what you're putting out there. So we do release on the network the homily with Pastor Will, and it's his sermons, but it's we didn't upload it because he wanted to start getting it out there. It was actually my idea because I was looking at our network going, what are we missing? And I'm like, actually, I would like to have a pastoral word in this network. And it played a function, you know. It wasn't Will going, let's build our church and let's get this out there and get everybody saved. It was more of I saw a hole and was like, I think this fits really well here, actually.
Yeah. Like I said, I totally agree with that. I applaud you for doing that. I just think a lot of pastors, and I this is my impression from what I've seen, they spend so much energy on Sunday morning and then they wonder why their people are being shaped more by politics and the news than they are by their sermons. Your sermon isn't that good, man. Like your sermon is like, it may be encouraging, but, that's fine. It plays an important role, but it's not the only thing. So if you want to really disciple people, you need to have a bigger imagination.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's right. I think podcasts are cool. I do think it depends, like every tool, it obviously depends. I think there are people who end up with an echo chamber and you're just listening to other people like you. And it's like, you get mad and the person you're listening to is mad. So you feel justified in being mad and it just kind of circulates. And I hate that kind of stuff. But then I think if you use it as like, I'm trying to hear some different perspectives, or if you're listening primarily to podcasts that are having conversations, not just telling you what to believe, I think it can be a lot more healthy. So I just think depends on the podcast, depends on how you're using the tool, all those kind of things, you know, the usual, let's nuance this stuff that I like to say and annoy people with.
100%.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. So Eric, what is the future for Christian podcasts and the CPA in particular, but like, what's your prophetic vision?
I've been thinking about this because I knew you're going to ask me this. And to be honest with you, I'm not entirely sure. I've been following the podcast industry for well over a decade now. I think we're at an interesting time. things are getting bought up. Things are getting a lot of celebrities and bigger institutions are using podcasts. And I think that's sucking a lot of attention toward the top. That's good. It's good for us if more, but like we said, it's good if there's more podcasts and more people are aware, which has happened. Like there was for a long time they were tracking, they still track this, but they were tracking like, when will it tip over from, you know, under 50% to over 50%, the number of people who first are aware of podcasts to the number of people who are listening to podcasts every week. Well, that happened a couple of years ago. And so we're there and like people know what podcasts are. Some of my first guests on my podcast, mm-hmm. I recorded the interview and they were like, what are you going to do with this? They had no idea what I was doing because it wasn't there yet. Right. Okay. But we're not there anymore. Where does it go? Where does Christian podcasting go? Honestly, I've been kept pondering this a lot and I wish I had a great answer for you. I'm thinking that, you're probably going to have your, what we do see just even in my list, right? You see a whole lot of people who are like institutions who are building content. And I think you're going to see a whole lot more of that going forward. I do hope to encourage the individual podcaster. I think you got to be better with your message. You can't just start a show and like, so you guys have it dialed in. Like, you know what you want to talk about. You need to know that and kind of have carve out a lane that you can, mm-hmm. that you can run on, or else it's just going to be, it's hard. It's going to be much, much harder than it used to be to kind of even feel things out. For where you want to be. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad you said that too, because even when we started, which was 7 years and 300 episodes ago, most of my family members had to be like, oh, it's a podcast. Right. And they, of course, would go, is that like on the radio?
That's fun.
No, not really.
Yeah. Yeah. I personally, and this is maybe, I don't think this is cynical. This is just like how my brain works. I'm like, it's a form of media, so it's going to end up like Christian TV or Christian books. Especially Christian books are what I'm thinking of. And it's going to be like a lot of these big networks or big whatever, and they're going to be producing a lot of like really basic, basically feel-good books that just have a name that people like and you can read it. And then you'll have a few, you know, publishers or whatever that you're like, okay, I know that if these people are publishing it, it's probably more educational. It's more theopraxy, you know. Yeah. Our friend Joe Day has a podcast network that was once called the Happy Day Podcast. I think it's like KM Radio or something now. But I know like they're going to be the more practical stuff. We try to be the more like we're engaging and just kind of more conversational. CPAs open to people. But I could see it going the way of like books of like you're going to have some people who just we don't even know if they wrote the book, but their name was going to sell a book. So they wrote a book. And that's like what the big publisher are going to put out. And you're going to have to really know either the creator, because there's going to be always going to be indie stuff, I think, or you're going to have to know the network or know the people like, hey, is the publisher actually going to be putting out stuff that's trustworthy, or is this just going to be feel good slosh, you know?
Right.
Maybe that was cynical.
Always the cynic.
No, I think what you're calling for is discernment, right? And it's going to take more discernment for sure. I think it's always been the case. But you'll have to figure out what resonates with you and what you like and where you want to be. So
yeah. All right, good stuff. Well, on that positive note, hopefully you guys know that you could trust CPA and Azal Podcast Network. We're doing our best to put out stuff that's not just feel good slosh, but genuine content by real people. And there's always going to be good creators out there, and anytime I run across them, I'm going to make sure to shout them out, because you know, like Mark Flower isn't part of a network. Grub and Grace, though, is definitely a show you guys should listen to. That's my last podcast shout out for the day. Well, that's not true. We'll do more in network at the end,
because I like Mark.
Yeah, Mark's fantastic.
He can't play cornhole at all. He's a cool guy.
That makes him a good guy. But you know, one thing we do always like to do before we wrap up our shows is just to ask for a single practical action, something tangible our listeners could just go and do at the end of the show that's going to help better engender Christian unity. Eric, what's something practical our listeners could go do right now that's going to help bring the church together a little bit better?
The one thing I think that you can do to engender church unity is to ask a question before you get mad, right? So if somebody says something, yeah. And you're like, oh no, ask ask at least one question, and you're even better if you can ask three questions. Just add and dig in and try to just say, what do you mean by that? That's a simple one. You can ask about a particular word they used or a phrase, like, tell me about that. How'd you come to that conclusion is a good one. Those are questions that bring the temperature down and bring the understanding up. Mm-hmm. If you can do that, so my kind of motto is get curious, right? If you can get curious, you will create a whole lot more empathy, which is not toxic, by the way. That's a whole different podcast. But you create more empathy for yourself, not only for other people, but other people will understand you as well.
Yeah. I assume that goes for online too, if you see something.
100%. Ask a question.
Yeah. So if we all get curious, what changes do we see happen in the world?
Well, I hope a couple things. One, I hope we develop a thicker skin, right? So everybody's not so darn offended all the time. That would be nice, and angry.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah. And I think we see more conversations. And look, I don't have to agree with you. I don't have to agree with everybody. Mm-hmm. In order to have a conversation with you, in order to understand that human, I think this is kind of a big part of your show and your message. But I do, at least it's incumbent on me to not hate you, right? I need to figure out how to do that. Mm-hmm. Well, we're called to love. We're called to be people who are known by our love, and asking questions. This was often Jesus's go-to, right? Was to ask somebody a question. What do you want? What do you need from me?
Mm-hmm. It's important to remember that unity is not conformity.
Right, right. We're not always going to agree on everything. And we may have significant disagreements. My daughter is 23 and she has a Bible study in our house, and they read, they're starting 1 Peter. And they read, there's a right at the very beginning, there's a little Trinitarian section in verse 2. And it talks about the foreknowledge of the Father. Well, now you brought up predestination and something. They were all kind of going, you know. I had to come in and referee a little bit. Not really. They weren't getting out of hand. They just had some questions.
Yeah.
But we're not going to agree on stuff like that all the time, right? But we can come to a place where we go, hey, I see why you think that. Here's why I think this. We can still love each other without agreeing on that.
Yeah. Yeah. So before we wrap up, I don't know if you remember. It's been a while. But we like to ask everyone what their God moment is, and it's just a moment in their life recently where they saw God, whether it's a blessing, a moment of worship, a challenge, whatever it may be. I always make Joshua go first, gives the rest of us plenty of time to think about our God moment. So, Josh, do you have a God moment for us this week?
Yeah. I have a few, but I've been actually doing some of the other podcasts I supposedly help with, like the homily and whatnot, and one of them is just me, Be Living Water, and I going through the Book of Daniel and Les Miserables, and instead of doing what I usually do, is like, yeah, my memory is good enough, I know all this stuff, I was like, yeah, I'm actually going to read and study through it as I go, even if I do already have a plan. And man, book one, chapter four, Les Mis, you just hear Bishop Muriel just going on all these fields of like what it actually means to give grace, be grace, and is the system what's sinful or the person? And I'm like, crap, I wasn't ready to be hit with all that. And actually, I had to reread that chapter because I needed it. So that's going to be my God moment.
Yeah, finding out that classics are classics for a reason. It's really annoying, like every time.
Yeah,
I like it.
Really annoying. For me, my God moment, you know, I'm a big family guy, not the show. I don't really, it's funny, I guess.
It's like, you knew what I was going to say.
Yeah. But, I've gotten to spend more time with my family recently, and, my sister quit her job and she's just,
wow,
not worried about it at all.
Crazy.
Not worried about it at all, which speaks to, I hope, the comfort she feels in God to not have to worry about it, and the rest of us who are willing to support her and be there. So it is a blessing and a challenge.
Good stuff.
We'll see which one it is more of.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Eric.
Yeah.
Tell us.
I've got a couple I could point to, but one I'm going to point to, because it was such a blast from the past. You guys are younger. Do you remember Petra?
That's like
rock formation.
I grew up living under a rock, so
it was a band. Okay, they're a band. They were like 70s, 80s, 90s. Nice. They were like the best band, the Christian band. They were my favorite. So they haven't put out an album in 20 years, and they just put one out this last week, and it's called Hope. And I listened to this thing because kind of thinking a little bit, you know, like, is this going to be any good? You know, like, I don't know. Probably. Yeah. I don't know. They're all 20 years older. And I absolutely love it. It is a, I'll say this. It's got the right amount of cheese. You know, I finally a few years ago, I decided actually cheese is really good. I like a certain amount of cheese.
Yeah. Cheeseburgers are greater than hamburgers.
That's correct. Right. Yeah. So why am I getting mad if something's a little bit cheesy? And it's got its moments, but it reminded me of what Christian music used to be, or at least the way I experienced it.
Yeah.
One of my buddies who I immediately texted as soon as I listened to it, was like, dude, you got to hear this. This is great. Cause we used to listen to them all the time and go to concerts together. He said, I love that they're actual real songs. They're not designed to be worship songs. They are designed to be songs about a thing. And, they each have a message, which is what Bob Hartman, was always so good at in his writing. And so it was good guitar licks, solos, stuff that I love that nobody does anymore. So it's just great. And it just reminded me, like, I just had this sense of, oh, this is, I remember not only this feeling this way, but just being encouraged by music in this way that I just haven't had in a long time. And, that was great. I was grateful for that. Yeah, so it's really good. Have you heard it?
No, God, no.
Go listen. But I'm glad
you brought it up, because I have been listening to Flyleaf lately.
Okay.
So it's similar. They didn't come out with anything new.
Yeah. It's not your style. It's interesting. They've got a couple of different, somebody asked, which album does it most closely resemble from back in the day? And it's kind of a little bit of everything. There's these little, you know, throwbacks to other stuff that they did back in the day. But anyway, it was just the fact that, hey, this reminds me, this encourages me in a way that I just hadn't been in a long time through music. And so
I was really grateful for that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But I actually was going to listen to it, just so we're clear. I did queue it up.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
It's good stuff.
I actually, reminds me, recently I was talking about, this is going to be really weird, how the Jonas Brothers hype from last year actually got me into Switchfoot. Because hearing some of their music reminded me that there was an interview they did when they did Beautiful Letdown cover, where they were like, yeah, Switchfoot was actually one of our big inspirations. Because I was hearing something like my wife was listening to last year, and I'm like, I can kind of hear the Switchfoot influence. So then it made me want to listen to Switchfoot and not Jonas Brothers. And nice. Same thing, Switchfoot lyrics, he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
I never got, they were a little down the road for me. Like, I never really got into them, but I
mean, not a Switchfoot, Flyleaf, Thousand Foot Crutch.
More of a hairband guy. So,
hey, hey, I get it. I don't have hair. So out of envy, I just refuse to listen.
one of my, top moments of the last two or three years was seeing Journey and Def Leppard at Coors Field on the,
okay, that actually sounds super awesome.
It was awesome.
I get that. Yeah.
It was so great. It was good.
There's no like glam Christian rock bands. There's no Christian glam metal.
They're out there. There used to be. There used to be. But anyway, go check this one out. I got a list for you if you need.
Yeah. Hey,
shoot Striper it over. Was the definition of a glam Christian band.
Yeah, all right. Shoot over. We have a music podcast. We might we could talk about some of those.
Okay. So, if you like this episode, first, thank you. I mean it. Also, thank you for giving us your time, even if you didn't like the episode. And either way, please consider sharing it with a friend. Share with an enemy. Share with your cousins.
If you didn't like it, share your cousins. With an
enemy. Yeah, if you didn't like it, share with your enemies.
It's still your cousin. Either way, share it with your cousin. Yeah.
Yeah. Be cordial.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep it polite. But you can check out our new website, purchase one of our t-shirts. Josh is wearing one now, and usually, almost always, he is. I like to wear mine at work. So yeah. I usually take them off when I get home.
I have two different sets because I just keep getting samples sent to me or like misorders. So I have like the black ones I wear to work because we have to wear black.
Yeah.
And then the ones that aren't black, I wear while we record and stuff, because I just love comfort color shirts. They're
nice.
Comfy. Yeah.
They're comfortable.
Yeah. Also, check out some of the other shows on the Onizal Podcast Network. You know, we mentioned that a lot this episode. Check out Christian Podcast Association Network as well. But, you know, I mentioned I've been helping with those shows I've been neglecting. So I'm going to shout out some of those. So check out The Homily, that actually has new episodes. Check out The Bible After Hours. That's going to have a new episode by the time this is out. And check out some Joyful Noises. We've got some stuff going on there, too, which is that music podcast I briefly mentioned.
Yeah. All right. But we do hope you enjoyed it. Coming up, we're going to be having Andrew Fouts return to discuss Christian persecution around the world and what Open Doors Canada is doing to help. And then we're going to take a week off for Joshua's birthday. Allegedly.
Thank you.
slash anniversary. It is both, because he cheated. After that, we're going to be having same week. You know, couldn't do the same day because he wanted to get married on Super Bowl Sunday, by the way. If you're still listening, you deserve to hear this.
That wasn't on purpose. I didn't know.
This guy decided to get married on Super Bowl Sunday.
Did anybody come to the
ceremony? Yeah, me?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was a big, most people went, and then after the wedding, we went to watch the Super Bowl.
We had a Super Bowl party, basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually kind of cool. Yeah.
It was kind of cool. I also knew one of the people playing in the Super Bowl. Shout out Debo Samuel. We went to high school together.
Oh, yeah. And my wife did the, we're going to the Super Bowl thing, the part of her vows, because we were going to Disney World. So it fit. That was the honeymoon.
It's a good bit. Anyway, after that break, we're going to be having a roundtable on church engagement, focusing on topics like social justice and Christian nationalism. Finally, at the end of season one, Francis Chan is going to be on the show.
Yeah, he doesn't know it, though, so someone does have to tell him.
Completely unaware.
Yeah.
Blissfully so, probably.
Yeah. Invite him for us, because we won't. Yeah. We're lazy-ish. Lazy-ish. Thank you for listening to the Whole Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. Remember, you can always sponsor our efforts to educate and unite the church on Captivate, Patreon, or Apple Podcast. If you're not into the subscription thing, again, you can leave a one-time tip on our Captivate website down below in the description notes. Thank you again, and please come back next week.